guys. I think it's really important for us to remember what Joey said, this new life that he has for us, this new kingdom that he came to deliver to us, is hard to understand because we always talk about this. It's already and it's not yet, right? His kingdom is not fully here yet, but it's here. And we're not fully made right with him yet, but it's coming. We're in this sanctification process. And for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at following Jesus through kind of a different lens. We've been looking at following Jesus as something more than just believing that Jesus is a real historical person. Something more than just like liking his teaching or admiring his passion. We've been seeing following Jesus as something more than trying to cuss less or drink less, or go to church more. We've been talking about what it means to really follow Jesus, to go where he went and to do what he did, and not just to be affected by who Jesus is, but to actually become like Jesus is, to be changed, to be formed, to be reformed, to be transformed. And we know that for us to really be transformed into the likeness of Jesus is a miracle that we can't make happen. But we've come to see that it is a partnership. It's something that Jesus calls us to participate in with him. And we've been taking a real look at our role in intentional spiritual formation. And we're following very closely with this book called Practicing the Way. Probably have a picture of that for you by John Mark Comer. Really great book. When I say we're following it closely, I mean a lot of what I'm teaching is right out of this book. And so if you really want to understand this concept, I'd really encourage you to get a copy of the book and read a couple of pages a day and kind of go through it with us. If you're just now joining us today, you don't have to worry about that because the previous sermons are on our website or on our app, or I'll just right now give you just a little update to kind of get us on the same page. So here's what you missed if today's your first day with us in a while. Week one, we talked about just how different God's coming kingdom is from our current world. And that's why Jesus' model for us and Jesus' instructions for us seem so upside down and so countercultural and so counterintuitive and so just plain weird. It's because his instructions are intended for life in God's kingdom, which Jesus says there, it's a strange place. You know, there the first will be last. And there leaders serve the people under them. And there we pray for our enemies and we forgive people that hurt us. And we, there he says the rich people should be careful and poor people are really blessed. It's a weird place. He said there we'll trust God's ways, not our own ways. So God's kingdom is a really different place. And so for us to thrive and for us to flourish in that place, in that kingdom, we need to change. We need to be transformed. Week two, we talked about following Jesus as our rabbi, not just being a fan of Jesus, but being a true follower of Jesus, not just being, you know, an admirer of Jesus, but being an apprentice of Jesus, and really what it looks like to start to shape our lives around being with him and becoming like him and doing the things that he did. And then last week, we started learning that to really change, if we're going to be transformed for his kingdom, we need to really resist conforming to the patterns and the ways of this world. And I offered you a formation audit, which I think a lot of you took a look at, and maybe you've been filling it out. And it's about things that are currently forming us, whether we know it or not. And if you haven't taken that, you still can. There's a link to it in my email, or there's a QR code on the screen there. This formation audit ends with a really scary list of the possible effects of being conformed to the patterns of this world. So this is what I'm calling List A. And put those up there if you would, Sarah. So this is some of the possible effects of following the patterns of this world. Stress, hurry, anxiety, fear, insecurity, jealousy, anger, exhaustion, contempt, overwork, materialism, discontent, debt, lust, pornography, racism, bigotry, feeling far from God. These are some of the possible results when we follow the ways of this world. And a few people have told me that this list really kind of shocked them because it basically described their lives to them. And if it does describe your life, then that's okay. Honestly, I hope you are shocked, but don't be discouraged, because the audit also contains a list of the possible effects of following the ways of God's kingdom. So this is list B. These are some of the possible markers when we follow God's ways: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, contentment, acceptance, honesty, integrity, harmony, restfulness, a sense of meaning and purpose, closeness with God. In John 10:10, Jesus said that's what he wants for you. Because he said, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come for a reason. He said, I've come to give them life, but not just any old life. I've come to give them rich, satisfying, abundant life. God created us to live and to thrive and to flourish and to matter in this world and in the kingdom. And Jesus came to change us from people of stress and hurry and anger and lack of purpose and anxiety and fear and exhaustion, who are disconnected from God, to a people like him. He came to change us to a people of love and joy and peace and purpose and contentment and rest, who are fully connected to God. So who's up for having your whole theology trashed in one sentence? Awesome, let's just do it. This is going to be surprising for some of us. Jesus did not come just so you could fly away to heaven someday. That's not what he came to do. He came to bring his kingdom here. And he came to change our lives now. And he came to move us from list A to list B. And last week was really just recognizing some of the stuff that could be shaping and forming and conforming us now to the ways of this world in list A, like our habits, our relationships, stories we believe. And today we're going to start talking a little bit more about actually being transformed, not just avoiding being conformed to this world, but what it's like to be transformed, to be changed, and to become more like Jesus, to experience list B. And I think we all want that. I think a lot of us are not just praying for God to do something for me. I think some of us are beginning to pray that I want God to do something in me. That I want him to change me. I want him to transform me. I want to be more like Jesus. And the problem for most of us is not that we don't want to be like Jesus, because we do. And the problem for most of us is not that we're not trying to become more like Jesus, because we are. Some of us are trying probably too hard. The problem is we don't know how to become like Jesus. And the really good news is Jesus said it's not only possible for you to become more like him, he actually has a training program to help you get there. And Luke 6:40 talks about it. Jesus says, a disciple's not above their rabbi, but when they are fully trained, then they become like their rabbi. So this training program of metamorphosis and transformation is 100% led and driven by the Holy Spirit, but he calls us to partner in it with him. And I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, follow me. He said, come and do the stuff that I do and go the places that I go, and you'll start to be transformed. Before we dig in, last week we saw a quick video about unintentional spiritual formation, how this world is forming us when we don't even see it. We could take a look at a 3-minute video right now about intentional spiritual formation.
Spiritual formation isn't a Christian thing, it's a human thing. Every minute of every day, we are being formed by a complex interplay of forces. We're formed by our habits, our relationships, the stories we believe, and our environment. All this happens over time and through experience. The first four forces are more active, more about what we do. The last two are more passive, more about what is done to us. But most of our formation is unintentional. It just happens. We wake up, go about our normal life, years go by, and one day we realize we've been formed into a particular shape. which means for those of us who desire to be formed to be like Jesus, we don't start with a blank slate. We've already been deformed, not into the beauty of Jesus, but into the ugliness of sin and shame. Therefore, at some level, all formation in the way of Jesus is counterformation. To be formed to be like Jesus will require an intentional, thoughtful, conscious way of life to counteract the many forces that malform our soul. To counter our habits, we need the practices of Jesus that turn the fulcrum of our heart in a new direction and open our inner world to the presence and power of the Spirit of God to change. To counter our relationships, we need community, where we travel the way side by side with other apprentices of Jesus, and we are loved into people of love. To counter the stories we believe, we need the teaching of Jesus to fill our minds with truth. And to counter our environment, we need to live aware of and in connection to the Holy Spirit, who is the animating center of our life and the ultimate source of all transformation. These counter practices form our souls slowly over time, and especially through times of suffering, where we are not only formed, but forged into the love and peace and joy of Jesus. This is intentional spiritual formation, a life architecture of discipleship to Jesus that is deliberately designed to be more robust than the cultural forces all around us and the internal forces of our own heart. The key idea is this: we are going to be formed. Jesus' desire is to form us to be like Him. But this will require us to organize our days around intentionally following Jesus and finding deep joy in our everyday lives with Him.
So last week we said the question isn't, are we being formed? The question is, will we be intentional about who's forming us or what is forming us? And that's what intentional spiritual formation means. It means not just going through life obliviously, letting habits or relationships or the beliefs of this world form us, but instead choosing what is forming us, choosing who is forming us, and deliberately fighting back against the things that have been unintentionally deforming us. So first of all, we know that we're formed by our habits. And this is really important. We don't just mean like horrible, sinful habits. If you're in the habit of murder or debauchery, just raise your hand real quick. It's not just that, right? We have lots of habits that are deforming us. For some of us, it's our eating habits, or our drinking habits, or our sleeping habits, or our spending habits. Or it's the habit of watching political news 24/7. It's the habit of scrolling through social media 3 hours a day. It's a habit of shopping online all day for stuff that we don't need. If those habits are forming us, if those habits are doing something to us, if they're making us anxious or angry or greedy or prideful or lustful or far from God, then being more intentional about the habits that form us means replacing those deforming habits with some great, healthy, Christ-like, transforming habits. And get used to this terminology. We are calling these Christ-like habits spiritual practices. And it's really important to understand that these practices are not things that we do to be saved. These are not things that we do to be saved. We're saved by the grace of God. Right, when we repent of our ways and put our faith in Jesus, we're saved by believing in what He did and not what we do. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by believing in what He did. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by His grace, not because you earned it. I know most of you. It's not because we've earned it. Okay, I saved you by His grace not when you succeeded, when you believed. It specifically says, you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done. These practices are not our salvation. They're not things we do so we don't go to hell. These are not things we do so that God won't be mad at us. These are not things that we do so that God will love us and we can earn a relationship with him. These are things that we do because God loves us and because we already have a relationship with him. These are ways to participate in this process of sanctification, this miracle of God making us more like Jesus. These activities, these practices, that's what they are. They're activities. They're activities. They're just, and they're based on the life of Jesus. And each one of these practices creates space for God to come into our life and transform us from the inside out. We believe in Jesus so much that we're literally turning away from following the ways of this world and turning towards following Jesus, doing what Jesus did, following the practices that Jesus taught and Jesus kept, like prayer, spending time in the Word, community and service and Sabbath and fasting and solitude and witness and generosity. And each one of those practices opens us up to God. They create space for God to work on us and in us with us. So God is transforming us, right? He's making, Philippians 1:6 says, I'm confident that God will continue the work that he began in you until he's fully finished with you on the day that Jesus comes back. This is a process. It's the process of sanctification. It's the process of being transformed and made more like Jesus. And so through his Spirit inside of us, he's transforming us from the inside out. And as we follow these practices, he uses them to transform us from the outside in. And so as we do what we can do, we offer our minds and our bodies and our relationships and our habits to God, God does what we can't do. He miraculously transforms us into people of love and joy and peace and kindness and faithful people like Jesus. So intentional spiritual formation, for one thing, means recognizing that our habits form us, and intentionally replacing any deforming habits with transforming practices. We're also formed by our relationships. So we're created to be relational beings. Whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, you were created to be in some form of relationship, because you're created in the image of God, who is, in fact, a relationship of three persons in one. Right? God created the whole world so that he had a place to have a relationship with us. So God is all about relationships. And if God is relational and you're created in the image of God, then you were created to be relational. And that's a good thing. But if our view of the world and our values and behaviors and lives are unintentionally shaped more by our relationship with our families or our friends at school or our friends at work or our friends online in this world, then they're shaped by Jesus and the kingdom of God, then we need to get more intentional about our relationships. Here's a great proverb, Proverbs 13:20. It says, walk with the wise, what happens? We become wise. Associate with fools, what happens? How many of you have a kid that you've told that to? Everybody, right? Yeah, tell your kids. How about us? Right? This who we associate with, who we have a relationship with, and what those relationships are in life, it's shaping us. It's absolutely forming us, and that's on purpose. We were created to thrive in. We were created to be shaped by relationships and community, and which community is shaping us matters. Community is the place where we practice the practices. Community is the place where the practices actually change us. Now, full disclosure, don't say amen when I say this, okay? Living in community is not always easy. Thank you for not saying amen. But living in community is where the deepest spiritual formation happens. In community is where the deepest spiritual formation happens. So since we know relationships are forming us, we need to be intentional about choosing and forming and developing those relationships. And that's why we make such a big deal here about finding a group. This is where it happens. John Mark had a great quote. He said, community is the incubator for all spiritual growth, right? That's the place, that's where the growth happens. It's where the rough edges get knocked off of us. It's where our deepest wounds are healed. It's where we experience forgiveness in real time. It's where we learn to forgive. Where does all that happen? It happens in community. So in a few weeks, we're going to do a 5-week deep dive into one of these 9 practices. And I can't tell you which one it is yet, but it's Sabbath. And if you've never joined a group, man, a lot of our groups are going to convert, and we're just going to go through Sabbath together as groups. If you've never joined a group, I hope that you will join one now. And just try it out. It's 5 weeks. And see if you don't experience this practice the way that it's really designed to be experienced, which is in community. If you need help finding a group, you go back to the Connection Center, grab a connection card, give us contact information, and write this note on there. Help me find a group. And we will help you find a group. If you've ever wondered about leading a group, then fill out one of those connection cards and let us know that you've thought about leading a group. We'd love to talk to you about maybe this is a great place for you to try this. So we're formed by our habits, so we need to be intentional about which habits we practice. We're formed by our relationship, so we need to be intentional about choosing and developing those relationships. And lastly, we're being formed by the stories we believe. We are being formed by the stories we believe. What you believe about life, what you believe about this world, what you believe about God and yourself and other people, what you believe is true has a huge impact on who you are becoming. And now, let's pause the sermon for 2 minutes for a mini rant. Whether you know it or not, and whether you understand it or not, and whether you like it or not, and whether you believe it or not, what you believe is being strongly influenced right now by the media that you consume, especially social media. And this is not some obscure conspiracy theory from an old man. This is a proven, known fact. This is how marketing is done now. The dollars you spend, the way you vote, what you believe is bent. Not just by advertising and commercials like in the good old days, but by the media that you watch, by what shows up in your news feed, what shows up on your Google searches. This is how products and candidates and ideologies are sold now. And the algorithms that determine what shows up in your feed or in your Google search or in your news channel is carefully curated to move you to buy a certain product or a certain service, to vote for a certain candidate or a certain party, to see God or the world or yourself in a certain way. Jesus said we should be as gentle as doves, but as shrewd as snakes. So be aware. What you believe is being strongly influenced by the media that you consume. End of rant. Back to the sermon. Okay, so we're being formed by the stories we believe. And whether that's stories that are being handed down in your family, whether that's stories that are being taught in your church, whether it's stories that are showing up in your social media account or on news stories that you see on TV or stories that you consume in books or movies or historical stories, every story you believe has some impact on the person that you're becoming. And if we're being formed more by the narratives that we're getting from pop culture, from Hollywood, from social media, from our news feed, than we are by Jesus and Scripture, then we need to intentionally change that. But how? Yeah, how? How can we become more intentional about the stories that we believe? And the answer is it's by filling our mind with the teaching and the truth of Jesus. If we say we believe in Jesus, I mean, if we really believe in Jesus, then Jesus is our rabbi, right? Jesus is our teacher. Jesus is our truth teller, and we need to fill our mind with his vision of reality. And there's lots of ways that we can fill our minds with the truth of Jesus, through good preaching and teaching, through reading Scripture, through meditating on Scripture. You know, you said this earlier, we don't read Scripture like we read a magazine. You know, you don't read Scripture like you read a comic book or like you read a novel and you go once through and I got it now, right? That's not how it works. It's meditation literature. It's intended for us to soak in it. It's intended for us to read it over and over and talk about it and think about it and pray about it. Read it again. Talk about it and think about it and pray about it. Read it again. Talk about it. Think about it. Pray. How many of you have had this experience? You read something in the Bible. You know for sure exactly what it means. 5 years later, you've changed, your life has changed, you read it again, and it's like, when did that get in there? Who's done that? Everybody, right? It's alive, man. This thing is changing all the time. And so you don't just skim it. You don't just skim it. We probe it. We dig into it. These are ways that we get this truth into us. Jesus said, John 8:32, Jesus said, if you remain faithful to my teaching, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And not just free from hell, free from list A. Free from anxiety and irritation and lust and exhaustion and anger and laziness and from being far from God. So as we intentionally fill our mind with God's word, with his teaching and his instruction and his stories, we begin to experience transformation. So last week we talked a lot, and we always do, about Romans 12:2. It says that we shouldn't conform to the patterns of this world, but we should be transformed. How? Yeah, by the renewing of our mind. So as we empty our mind of lies and replace those lies with God's truth, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. This John Mark Comer, here's another really great quote from him. He says, consciousness is the flow of thoughts, images, and feelings that pass through our mind all day long. But if we don't intentionally choose what we give our attention to, if we don't curate our consciousness, someone or something else will. What we fill our minds with is the person that we become. So if we're unintentionally formed and deformed and conformed by habits, then intentional formation calls us to replace deforming habits with transforming Christ-like practices. That makes sense? Okay. If we're being unintentionally formed by our worldly relationships, then we need to intentionally form relationships in Jesus communities. Does that make sense? Go like this and I'll go faster. Yep. To keep us from being unintentionally deformed by the stories we believe, we intentionally fill our minds with the teachings of our rabbi, Jesus. Right? Yeah. And these intentional habits and relationships and truth transform us into his likeness. And we don't do any of this in our own strength. We don't do any of this in our own wisdom. We don't do any of this by our own courage. It's a partnership with God, and we have a part in it. But the driver, the power of all of this transformation is God's Holy Spirit in us. So, I don't know about you, I'm very excited about being changed because I'm kind of sick of me. And I'm really excited about all of us being transformed and being more and more like Jesus. And I love it that he lets us have a part, a role in that transformation. In fact, I'm so excited that I am about 5 minutes from becoming a monk. Or I don't join a commune or something. Or maybe we should start one. Because like, wouldn't it be so much easier to experience the practices and the community and the teaching of Jesus if we were isolated away from the habits and relationships and stories of this world? Wouldn't that be easier? But God hasn't called us to that. Right? He put us in this world. And we have to face the reality that we are not following Jesus in Israel on a dirt road 2,000 years ago. And we're not following Jesus in his fully come kingdom 1,000 years from now. We're following Jesus in South Texas with our families and with our friends here and now. So for the next few weeks, from now on, we're going to talk about how to follow these practices and how to live in real community and how to fill our minds with his word in this world of pressure, stress and anxiety and deadlines and expectations. And I know these practices may seem a little weird. Remember, just keep reminding yourself, this place, his kingdom, is a really weird place, man. It's counterintuitive. It's countercultural. It's upside down. And so, of course, these practices sound weird. It's okay to admit Sabbath Seems weird. I mean, we were raised to take charge, right? Outwork everybody else, right? You don't need to rest, right? You rest when you're dead. Weren't you told all that stuff? This is how we get ahead in life, man. So the concept of Sabbath just seems bizarre. The concept of fasting, depriving yourself of food, clearly that's not the way I've lived my life, yeah? I mean, it's weird. Solitude, that's strange. Generosity, these are counter-cultural practices. But they're the practices of Jesus. And I believe that he knows what needs to happen. I believe that I'm going to turn away from the way I was going, and I'm going to follow his way. Because as Peter said, he has the words of eternal life. He knows the changes that need to be made in me. He knows the practices that will bring about that change. I think I'm just going to go with what Jesus says. And I know that that sounds like, for some people, maybe a little intimidating. Like, we're going to just change the way we do things. But I just want to encourage you with this. Taking on a practice sounds, oh, I could never. Oh, it's so bizarre. Oh, I could never. But you have practices now. You have practices now. Right? You have confirmed practices. How many of you have brushed your teeth sometime in the last 2 weeks? Most of you, right? That's a practice. How many of you almost every day at some point sit down and eat, right? How many of you put on clothes every Sunday before you come to church? Yeah, please keep doing that, right? These are good. These are all practices that you've decided are worth following to form your life in a positive way. And the practices of Jesus form us into the likeness of Jesus. And I'll tell you something else, just a little encouragement for you. You're probably already doing some of them, at least in some way, right? You probably are having some experience with Scripture, right? You're probably having some experience with prayer or serving people as some kind of regular routine, as some sort of practices you already have. We're just going to add a couple of practices, and we're going to learn to be a little more regular and a little more routine and a little more impactful and a little more intentional. So God wants you to have a life here and in his kingdom that is rich and satisfying and abundant and purposeful and peaceful and joyful and fun. And he wants to be closer to you than you can even imagine. And his plan to accomplish all that is by bringing his kingdom here and making you more like Jesus. And he's inviting you to be part of that transformation. And our part is to intentionally follow Jesus. And this is my disclaimer, man. This is the fine print. Welcome to our church. Here's the fine print, right? Like before you make a commitment, before you eat any more donuts, you need to know this is going to mean changing some of our habits and practices. If they didn't tell you that when you agreed to follow Jesus, I'm sorry. But it's going to mean changing some of our habits and some of our practices. It might mean changing some of our relationships and the way that we do those relationships. And it's going to probably mean changing some of the stories we believe. Because at its core, following Jesus means shaping our whole life around being with him and becoming like him and doing the things that he does. So next week, we'll start diving deeper into these practices. But for now, I think you'll agree, that's enough. Let's pray. Hey, before we pray, let me just say this. A brother came up to me today. Everybody's like bowing their heads and they're right back up. Stand up, sit down. All the recovering Catholics just had like a flashback. Oh no. Okay, so a brother came up to me earlier today and he was talking about the scripture where Paul talks about being vigilant in prayer. And he was saying, maybe we should even have like a prayer vigil where we just say, look, tonight, from, you know, this time to this time or something like that. But this picture that I think we really want to get a hold of is to be really prayerful. The things that we're doing are to cooperate with God in a miracle that only he can do. So we need to engage him in this process. If we're going to pray to be made more like Jesus, man, we need to be in a constant state of prayer about that. That God will use these practices to effectively change us and make us more like Jesus. No matter how we do the practices, short of a miracle from God, none of us becomes like Jesus. So let's engage him. Let's pray. Yeah, tonight, midnight. Pray all night. Pray all the time that God will change us and make us more like Jesus. Yeah? Okay, let's start now. Father, thank you because you have such like regard for us, such love for us, that you've invited us into your perfect, amazing kingdom. And I thank you that Jesus came to bring his kingdom here. And God, as we're starting to try to understand what the world looks like with you as king and us as your subjects, will you just show us and teach us from the life of Jesus? Empower us to follow his teachings and follow his model. And will you do in us the thing that we cannot do for ourselves? Will you change us? Will you make us more like Jesus? God, I just pray for like an open-mindedness in all of us, that we'll realize that we need to make changes if we're going to become more like Jesus. And I pray for your spirit to move in this place and in each one of us and bring that about. And we pray this by the power of Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.